Sorry. He's happy now. All right. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, church, for having us. It is an absolute blessing to be back with everyone. And Brother Justin, I thank you for inviting me and having us. That is an honor and just a privilege, I believe. And I want to thank you, church, for your prayers. I just want you to realize we've only been gone for 3 months. Feels like an eternity, doesn't it? But we've only been gone for about 3 months, maybe a hair bit longer than 3 months. But don't worry, winter's right around the corner. So, amen. Amen, right? I can get a witness there. Wave your hanky because it is warm. For once, I'm looking forward to getting back up north. Boy, this is rough. But yeah, we'll be back down here in winter time and fall time, so I'm sure we'll be over to visit and say hello. But I want to thank you again for your prayers, for your support. Thank you for praying for us while we're on the road, especially right now, our busy time, if you will. It doesn't seem like there's ever a slow time in ministry, does it? I'm not sure. I think there's a slow time in ministry, but it does not seem like there's a slow time in ministry. But especially right now, VBS time, camp time, and so we are full steam ahead. We have two VBSs under our belts already, and this will be the third of the year, and then next week will be the fourth of the year, so on and so forth. And I believe we still have some steam left in us, right, Miss Lisa? We're about out of steam already. But that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about facing the challenges that we cannot defeat. Facing the challenges that we cannot defeat. And before I do, I have in my pocket, on your way out, the double doors back there, we have a keychain. If you like, grab one of these keychains. It has our little top hat on the back there, and it has Psalm 34:17 on the other side. Psalm 34:17 is the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them from all their troubles. And for me, I got the keychain idea from another missionary friend of mine, and he was a lot more creative and a lot more crafty. They hand-tied their own, and that's not me. So I ordered ours, and I thought, boy, I wanted to put a Bible verse on there, but I wanted to put our top hat on so folks remember to pray for us, and I know you folks do. But another thing, you know, every time I turn the key on that bus, we're praying. Buddy asked how things are going. I said, well, the bus is back in the shop, so I guess things are normal. Everything's cruising right along. You pray for our bus. I know you have. And but yeah, grab one of these, stick it on your keychain, stick it on your spare set of keys, and whenever we cry out to the Lord, He's there, and He'll deliver us from all our troubles no matter what. So you grab one of them, and remind you to pray in that time of trouble. So I do want to thank you so much also for the place to stay over here. Parsons, just a wonderful, it is great. Everybody, you stretch your feet out, your legs out, and, you know, that king-size bed. I have to send my wife a text and be like, hey, she's so far away. So ask me after service about the last bed we were in was a, we got close, so, but I praise the Lord for it. So if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's just good to be back, good to be back home, as I like to say. Definitely count Bemis Road as one of our home away from homes. Always feel welcome here, and always a good time. So I wore my golf tie pin tonight.
Oh, there you go.
You know, he was talking about tie clips. I figured, well, I'll wear my golf one. He likes forks. Maybe we can get him out in the golf course this week. But so we're going to talk about Brother Brandon always keeps me on my toes with my titles and my messages. I do not title my messages. I never have. I just don't think, I'm just no good at that. No good at that. But I was prepared for Brother Brandon today. And the title is Facing the Challenges That We Cannot Defeat. Facing the challenges that we cannot defeat. And as wonderful as our VBSs are going so far this year, the devil already started fighting. He started fighting before VBS season even started for us. We were supposed to come down with just our bus. Well, our bus is not here. And so we dropped the bus off and we kept on moving forward. And we praise the Lord for a way to keep moving the ministry forward. God's taking care of us, no problems. We just keep on going. Then at the first VBS we had done up above Atlanta, Georgia, the air conditioning decided to quit in our second story apartment parsonage that we were staying in. And you guys might be familiar with what happens when your AC doesn't work down here in South Georgia. And so I started talking to your pastor, and he says, I'm second guessing how even having you come here. I said, yeah, I don't blame you, brother. We just came back from Tallahassee. We're second VBS, and the devil was fighting there in a couple different ways. Praise the Lord, young people started to move. We've seen some young people that raised their hands, 10, 11, 12-year-old folks, indicate they're not saved, but they would not respond to an invitation. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit worked, and the last day we had some folks respond to an invitation. So we're going to face battles in life every single day. Every single day we're going to face battles in life. The true, I say this, I wrote this down, and then I went back, I changed it. I did have that the Christian life is a constant battle, but a lot of people use that word Christian kind of fluently. The true Christian life is a constant battle, a constant battle. Let's look here. We're just going to go through a couple Bible verses here. We're going to get into some stories, some accounts of the Bible. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look down there at verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. This is very important, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Then am I strong. Let's pray. We're going to ask the Lord to help us tonight, because it's going to be a battle all week. If the devil has not poked his head around already with the planning and the preparation, the devil will show his face. Unfortunately, I believe that as we try to reach the youth this week. And we're going to rely on the Lord to help fight this battle this week. Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful for the opportunity once again to bring a message, Lord, I believe you've given me. Dear God, I ask that you just empty me of myself, Lord, and fill me with the Spirit, Lord. Let the words come across the pulpit that only you want, dear God. Lord, I'm so thankful for this church, Lord, and what you've done through it over the last couple of years, dear God. I ask you continue to encourage these folks, Lord, as they go for the gospel's sake out and to spread that wonderful word, Lord, that gift of salvation from your Son, dear God. Lord, I ask that you bless these people abundantly for being faithful and standing firm as a lighthouse, Lord, and being a family to my family, dear God. Lord, I just ask that you help us, encourage us tonight, and embolden us for the battle that's to come this week and every day of our Christian life as we try to serve you. I ask all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we have here Paul talking about that thorn in the flesh. Yes, if you're thinking about it, I believe the bus is the thorn in my flesh. I'm not sure why. It just is what it is. It's our means of transportation, the main means of our transportation to keep our ministry going. And it just keeps on having issues. And I've had this discussion. Yes, it's a Ford. We've had Chevys. Chevy broke down. And then some fella told me, well, you didn't have a Dodge yet. Get yourself a Dodge. I'm like, it doesn't matter what's on the front, what's on the emblem. You do something for God, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be fighting. And also when you try to reach the youth, now we do more than just youth ministries, but the devil's going to fight no matter what you do when you try to do something for the Lord. And he's going to try to get you down, going to try to get you discouraged, going to try to get you upset, going to try to get you to throw in the towel all the time. Every single day, there's going to be something poking you, something prodding you, just going, eh, why don't you quit? Okay, that's enough, right? Didn't you do enough? Poke, poke, poke. It's going to happen. Well, Paul here asked the Lord to get rid of that poking. Now, we don't know exactly what the poking was. There's some Bible theologians, they got different ideas. They know something I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not going to try to figure it out. But all I know is that God said no. No is an answer to prayer sometime. And then Paul made this statement, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Because of Christ. Because Paul relied on Christ for the fight. Paul relied on Christ for the battle. He speaks of this also. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It's not going to be anything new tonight, I'm sure. Just a good reminder. But I believe we need that all the time. I know I need it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it is a spiritual battle, a spiritual fight. We can't do it on our own. We cannot fight the devil on our own. And here we have a list of the body, all the armor here that we're supposed to put on. And let's look here at verse 13. Paul names everything. Now, this is a beautiful picture of how the Christian should be every morning. In verse 13, he says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We can stop right there. You can read a little bit farther in your own time where it talks about prayer and so on. But Christian, if we go about this week on our own, we will fail. Plain and simple. If we go at it in our own flesh, in our own means, we will fail. It is a spiritual battle. And like I said, if the devil has not already, he might poke his head up this week. He might poke his head up last week. He might poke his head up coming next week. I'm not sure. Maybe after the fact. Maybe all the VBS is done and everything's good. And then the devil might stir up some trouble. We should have done this. We should have did that. We should have had more water balloons, or it was so hot out, or we should have had more snow cones, or whatever the case may be. The devil's going to sneak in a little bit, but don't let him. Don't let him. Remember the spiritual battle. It's so simple. When we are fighting the devil, we're not doing it on our own, and we're fighting with the great King. We're on His team, Christian soldiers. We need to get ready to fight. When we look at, I'm sure this never happens to you, but when I look at ministry, I think this is impossible. I have lost my mind. There's no way this is ever going to happen. We have to travel 19 hours in less than 2 days coming up. And then start another VBS. There's no way this is possibly going to happen. I don't quite understand. But if I look at it in the flesh, and I go about that battle in the flesh, yep, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I'm just going to rattle some of these off. Luke 1 verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." John chapter 15 verse 5 says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." These young folks in here, did you ever try to open up a pickle jar? Can't open up a pickle jar? Be honest. Yeah. Try to do something on your own. Do you ever try to reach the top shelf? You ever try to get up to that top shelf and you can't reach top shelf? Isn't that terrible? So what do? You build this monstrosity of a ladder that scares your mom half to death so you can climb up there. But on your own, young people, you can't do it. But if you ask someone who's a little bit, they're looking at mom. Mom, remember that time? Yeah. But on your own, you can't do it. So you might have to ask for help. Now, these are physical things. These are physical things that we can see. But how about the things that are in our hearts that's in this room that no one knows about? How about, I'll go with the young people here. Sometimes, and adults, we've been through this as young people. We want to be liked by other people. We feel lonely. Teenagers want to feel accepted. We don't have no friends. We need to be friendly. And then we'll move into the adults. Life's constant struggles, real deal adult issues, the things that are hidden in our hearts that we carry around, those burdens that we constantly carry around that no one even knows about. Well, if we go about it on our own, then we're going to continue to carry them and fail constantly. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Anybody know where I'm going? I heard him. David and Goliath. We're going to look at three characters in the Bible, three people that, and how they fought the fight that was impossible, how they stood against giants, how they did the impossible, and not on their own. We know this passage of Scripture very well. David goes to fight Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Just want to go here in verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." I want to stop right there because the Lord gave me this afternoon as I was reviewing my message. Don't ever tell me I can't go do something for God. Don't ever tell me that'll never work. God won't be in that. Because the moment we quit our job, my job, and we left, people looked at us like, "You are out of your mind. You have lost your marbles." I said, "I didn't really have that many marbles to begin with, but you're going to do what? What are you going to do? You're going to go preach the gospel? You're going to quit your job. You have no meetings. You have no place to go. You don't know anybody in the South." And you know they have bugs down there, right? And skeeters that'll carry little kids away. "But you're going to go do all that? You're crazy." And guess what happened?
It worked.
It worked. Because I went in the Lord's name.
Amen.
That's why.
Amen.
So young people, God gives you a burden for lost souls. God gives you a burden to go do something. If they say, "Hey, I'm going to go be a missionary in some far country in Africa," go for it. Say, "Well, I don't know. Go for it. Don't stop. Go. Don't tell me, God.
Amen.
If God wants something done, He's going to get it done." That was for free tonight because the Lord gave me that. But who's Saul? I can tell you who Saul is. Look over in chapter 18, verse 12. This is what happened to Saul.
Yeah.
"And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. That's what was wrong with Saul. That's for another message. Pastor will touch on that some other time. Verse 34, "And David," back in 17, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his..." Now here's David's resume. Here's what David has. This is his resume, okay? "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David was geared up. He was a soldier for Christ. He was going to fight for the great King of Kings. And here Saul, you don't go do that. You're not going to make it. And David says, "Look, I did this, this, this." But he also gives the credit where the credit's due. In verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." I don't know if David was just tired of hearing this little kid. And I don't think he was a little kid. I believe he was a teenager in his teenage years. But I don't know if King Saul was tired of hearing this. And he said, "Just get out of here. Go away." I'm not sure. But David had given credit where credit was due. That is why we can go over in verse 45. Verse 45 of chapter 17 in 1 Samuel. "And David said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." We see David talking about he comes in the name of the Lord of hosts. He comes and the Lord will deliver me. Spiritual battle. Goliath came at David with sword and shield and all this armor. David didn't have any of that. He went with the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. In verse 47, it says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord..." Now, we know David did as well. "But all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Notice there's a couple of key words here. We have God in Israel. We have Lord, the Lord of hosts, the Lord's. And at the end, he says, "our hands."
Yeah.
Our hands. That could be David and the army of Israel. But I believe David went down there. He was going to pick a fight with five giants, not just one. I think he was going to pick a fight with five giants because Goliath had some brothers and he took five stones with him. But also, I think David went down there knowing that the Lord was with him 100%. 100%. That's why I believe he said, "our hands, our hands. God is with me and I'm going." It was faith and it was trust in God that allowed David to fight this giant and defeat something so impossible that wasn't supposed to be. Praise God. Something so impossible. When I tee off with my driver. Why does everybody laugh?
I'm sorry, brother. I apologize.
And I hit the fairway. Praise God, that's a miracle.
Yeah.
On my... Kids. On my second shot, when I am going for the green and it lands on the green, praise... Now, I don't think God cares about my golf game. But it's still a miracle. To me, that's almost an impossible thing to happen. Here we have something that we would look at that's crazy. Brother Steve, you're just being... Look, this young man took on this giant, the complete impossible, something so... Can we fathom that? Let's think about Brady or Parker taking on Mr. T. Some of our older folks remember who Mr. T was? You know, I pity a fool. There you go. There's your David and Goliath right there. Something so impossible. Why do we struggle? Lack of faith and unbelief. Lack of faith and unbelief. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you."
Amen.
Church, I had to swallow this with a big pill because I am tired of the devil, and I'm tired of getting beat up, and I don't have a white towel. I got me a red towel, and I'm like, I'm going to throw the towel in. I'm tired. But then I think of all these examples, how God laid out plans. These aren't fairy tale stories. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. These things actually happen. That young man, David, went against Goliath in the name of the Lord and fought him 100%. Why can't we do that? Matthew 17:20. I want faith. I want to move a mountain. I want faith that big. I don't even know how to get faith that big. I know that if anybody's in here moving mountains, let me know. We see David here fought the spiritual battle. Fought the spiritual battle. Let's go to Judges, the book of Judges. We have another strong man, all from my bloodline. Glad you caught that. Judges chapter 16. We have another strong man, Samson. Samson who slew thousands and thousands of Philistines. Samson who took the Nazarite vow, getting his power from the Lord because of his vow to the Lord, up until he was tricked or fooled by Delilah. And we look here at Samson chapter 16, in verse 16. And it came to pass, I'm not going through all the backstory. If you don't know the story of Samson, I apologize. You go ahead, you read that in your own time. We got a Sunday night crowd here. I'm just going to roll with that. We know the story of Samson. Judges 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I have that entire verse highlighted in my Bible, but I also have that word daily highlighted. That stuck out to me like a sore thumb. Daily she came after him. Every single day. Now, I don't know what it would be like to have a nagging wife who would come after me day after day. I have the sweetest wife known to man, and she loves me. Praise God for that. But I know what it's like to have the devil come after me daily, every single day. And I don't know what happened to Samson here. I do know what happened. He let his pride get to him. He let his pride get to him, and he finally gave in to the devil. Remember that thorn in the side, that little thing that just keeps poking and poking and poking and poking? It's going to be there daily, every single day. I don't want this to be a discouragement for you. I want it to be an encouragement for you, because the true Christian life is a constant battle. It's a daily constant battle. But if we gird our armor on, as Paul said in Ephesians 16, and we do it in a spiritual way, we get right. If you notice in your own study time, go back and look at that book, Ephesians chapter 6. There's only one offensive weapon that we get. That's the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. All the other armor are defensive weapons, and we are told to stand, constantly stand. Stand therefore, having done all to stand and to withstand those fiery darts of the devil. It's a spiritual battle, and it's God's battle. It's God's battle. Samson pressed every single day, every single day. The devil, he will not stop. He will continue to come and poke and poke and poke. And eventually, if we don't put our armor on and we don't gear up for the battle and we don't make sure that we are spiritually prepared every single day, we will be tricked, we will be fooled, we will be manipulated, we will be distracted by the devil, and we might fall just like Samson did. And then we should just give up, roll over in our grave and quit, right? No. No. Didn't Samson do that? Come on, my young Bible scholars. Samson didn't do that, did he? Now, we do know over here in verse 20, he didn't even know that the Lord departed from him. I believe that his pride got to him too much. But at the end of Samson's life, look with me in verse 28, Judges chapter 16 in verse 28. You see, God is the God of second, third, fourth, fifth, and 100 chances. No matter how down we get, no matter how many times we fail or how many times we fall, God does restore us to where we want to be. He gives us that forgiveness. In verse 28 of Judges chapter 16, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." He called back to the Lord. I believe he was sorry for what he had done, and he wanted to go out with a bang, serving God once again. And you can read the rest of the story there. Samson did another impossible thing. His strength was restored, and he destroyed more Philistines in the time of his death than he did in the time of his life. First John, if we get to a point where we've failed God, we fall, we let our pride get in the way, or something bad happens, we don't throw in a towel, we don't quit, we ask God to get back down on our knees, we pray to the Lord, we ask God to forgive us, we ask God to please use us once again. You know, God doesn't have to use us. Do you ever think about that? I do. He doesn't have to use me. Who am I? Who am I that God would use me? He could use absolutely anybody in the world. Why me? Please, God, use me again. I want to be used again. Please, God, allow me to be used again. That's what he did. If we ever get into that place, don't ever forget 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing. I think about this would be hard, but chalkboard. You guys know what a chalkboard is? Okay. Used to have chalk back in the day. Now they have smart boards. They have dry erase boards. But that chalkboard back in the day, I used to hate doing that job. At the end of the school day, I had to go in and, you know, we had to rotate and clean the chalkboard. It was so messy. But that chalkboard got a cleansing every single day. And then at the end of the week, we had to spray this stuff on it, and it made that chalkboard really green or really black, depending on what chalkboard you had. Yes, that shows my age. Not just, look, you're looking at me like deer in the headlights. You have no idea. But it's clean. Why is it? It's cleansed, just like 1 John 1:9, that cleansing, a fresh start, a fresh start. Don't worry about what happened. Don't worry about how you fail or why you failed the day before. Don't worry about that. You have been cleansed, the Bible says. Start new. The only person who brings up all those bad things that you have in your head is the devil trying to get you back to where you were. Don't worry about that. So we got to see David. We got to see Samson. You say, well, Brother Steve, I really don't have a giant that I need to go cut his head off anytime soon. There's no giant Philistine, no? I said, Brother Steve, there's really not 1,000 Philistines tearing my eyeballs out, chaining me to the pillars. No. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And I hope you take these lessons and apply them to a spiritual matter, but here we have something physical. We're going to talk about unity in our church family here. Unity in our own families. Luke chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what they or what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which would speak of blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took them that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." We might not see those giants in our lives that we physically have to go after. We might not see thousands of the Philistines that we have to go after, and those that are mocking God and so on. But we have things in our life, emotional, physical, sometime it may be money, work, a job place, loved ones, whatever it is. Sometimes we have these things in our life that they just keep us in bed. Don't want to get up that day. I can't do it. That's it. Here we have this man who is sick of the palsy. What could he do? What could he do? He's heard somehow or another. I don't know, brother, if they had Facebook, the newspaper, telephone, telegraph, pigeon. I don't know how, but these men heard of the healer, Jesus Christ. They heard of the great Christ. They heard of the Messiah who could heal. And what was that man who was sick of the palsy supposed to do? He couldn't get there. He couldn't do anything on his own. It was impossible. We're talking about these battles, these fights that are impossible for us to go, to do, to take, to defeat. Here, this man had faithful friends, didn't he? In faithful friends, we see in verse 20 where Jesus Christ sees their faith. Sees their faith. The true Christian life, I said it before, I'll say it again, the true Christian life is a life of constant battles. Sometimes we're on the couch, helpless, sick of the palsy, can't get up, and we need faithful friends to carry us to Christ. Look around. These are your faithful friends. These are your faithful friends. Sometimes we got a friend who's down and out, and he's on the couch, and he can't get up, and he can't go to the Lord. Sometimes we have to carry those to Christ. Carry those to Christ. I talked earlier to the young folks about reaching the top shelf and about unscrewing that lid. Look, we're in this together. We need help. Sometimes you might need help unscrewing that pickle jar. Sometimes you might need help getting to that top shelf. Folks, no matter our age, no matter where we're at spiritually, we need to rely on one another all the time, constantly relying on one another. Our ministry is based off of people relying on, or us relying on people. We would not be able to move forward without churches like you helping us. We rely on other Christians to help us and carry us through so we can move forward with the gospel. So we can, at the end, like it says here in verse 25 and 26, how they glorified God. People were all amazed and they glorified God. And this amazing thing is here, we know who was there that day. It was Pharisees and it was scribes were there that day, and they glorified God according to what the Bible says, and they seen strange things that day. When we stick together as a church, when we stick together as a unified body, it makes the impossible possible. We have each other's backs. We keep moving forward. I have no idea why the Lord wanted me to preach this tonight, other than the fact that I know we're going into VBS, and I know someone's going to say, there's not enough white balloons here. We need more white balloons. Someone's going to say there's too many yellow balloons. Well, that's the butter. Don't you like buttery popcorn? We need more yellow balloons. Someone's going to say, well, why did we put a blue buggy on the top of the Ferris wheel? Why didn't we put a green one up there? I like the color green. Sounds silly, doesn't it? But that's us. The devil's going to poke a little place. Poke here. Poke there. Daily. Poke, poke, poke. Things that are insignificant, things that don't matter in 10 years, 5 years, maybe even 5 months, they're not going to matter. But the devil's going to try to stick his head in and poke and poke and poke. Stay unified. Surround yourself with faithful friends like this man did. Stick together. If we stick together as a unified family of God, with the Lord's help, the impossible will be possible. God uses Christians to help other Christians. Let's pray. And then I'll turn the service over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message, Lord. You touched on my heart, and I knew it was directed towards me, and I wanted to share it with the folks. Dear God, I don't think this is something for just me. Lord, I'm tired of the devil. Lord, I'm tired of the breakdowns. Lord, I'm exhausted in the ministry. And I'm not tired of serving you. I'm just physically tired. Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I pray for the folks here as we try to do the impossible this week, and that's to reach lost souls with the gospel. Young people who are constantly being surrounded by the devil in school, on TV, in their own homes. Lord, we're going to do the impossible by giving them a little piece of the gospel. Give them the light, just that little tiny flicker. Lord, I pray for each young soul that comes this week. I pray for their parents. I pray for their homes, dear God. Lord, I pray for this church to stand together and fight that devil like David, like Samson, and continue to give you the glory, because it's only you that we can lean on to make this happen. Lord, I thank you so much for Bemis Road, and as they continue to fight, they continue to move forward. I know that you're here. Lord, I thank you for their heart for the gospel. I ask you to be with the invitation, the rest of the service, in Jesus' name, amen.